Ephesians chapter 6, we come to a second time, a passage that deals with parenting. There's a lot of challenges with parenting today, and there's a lot of ideas of how to do it, but we are given one verse in the Scripture, in Ephesians anyway, a lot of verses in the Scripture, one verse in Ephesians, and there's a lot of wisdom here, so we're taking our time and we're unpacking this to see what all is written here. So if you're there, would you please stand with me as we read our Scripture this morning? Ephesians chapter 6, just one verse, verse 4. The Bible says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words of truth. We thank you that they are relevant, helpful, applicable, Lord, to the real things of life. You've given direction, Lord, to raise the children that you've blessed us with. So thank you for the instruction here. Help us to understand it, apply it. Help me to speak well, to honor your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There's a great drive within my own soul to raise my own children as followers of God, to raise them as lovers of God. I don't personally want my children to grow up to be rebellious, to be apathetic, or to be even against the things of God. I have a great drive to raise them in the ways of God. How that looks, I'm not too concerned. As far as what they do in life, they may end up working on a farm, they may end up working at a factory, they may end up being a CEO of a big corporation and make millions of dollars. I don't have a clue. They might end up being a missionary and going to a hostile country to where they hate Christians and their lives are threatened. To me, that's not the main concern. My main concern is that I raise my children to know God and to love God and to seek after God and pursue Him and live for Him with everything that they got, no matter what they find their hand in. And if I can do that, I will find great contentment. Now, will that be the case with each one of them? I don't know. I am not God, and only God holds the keys to those things. But are there some things that I myself can do to influence how my children turn out? And the answer to that is absolutely yes, because the Bible has a lot to say about parenting and how you can influence your children. And so we come to this command in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and it comes at us actually in a negative sense first, and then it comes to us in a positive sense. We went over the negative part last time. Don't provoke your children to anger. Don't do that. But now we're coming to the positive side of these things, of how to raise your children up. Here's what to do in parenting, and that's what is said here. Verse 4, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to take that and break it down into phrases, and then we'll really get moving into this. First words there are bring them up. Bring them up. What's that mean? It means to nurture them. It means to raise them up well. It means to bring them into maturity. That's what we're to do. And you remember who this command goes to? What's the first word of Ephesians 6:4? Fathers. This command comes to the fathers. And you remember I pointed out last week that the fathers hold the primary responsibility in the raising of the children. Therefore, they should be directly involved with the raising of the children. It's not just mama's job, and that's what we talked about. But I want to maybe flip this over and look at the other side this morning just for a little bit before I get moving more forward, because this command actually comes to the mothers as well. Fathers, and you could say, and mothers, beneath the authority of the fathers, raise up your children. Bring up your children. And I think that's important because you know what the common parenting style is today. What is it? Dad goes to work, mom goes to work, and what happens to the kids? They get farmed out into daycare. Now, I want to say that I am very thankful because I know most all of the moms in here have this drive to raise up their own children. But I think it's important to point this out because the Bible does say you raise your children. Don't pay somebody else to raise your children. You raise them, your children. You bring them up. You bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. I am personally convinced of this. I would much rather be poor and have godly children than have a bigger bank account and have children that are walking in the ways of the world. Because what is the main drive why most moms go to work? Greed. Can dad provide for the home? Most of the time, I want to say, in our culture, yes, that's the case. I understand there's some times when that's not the case and other stuff has to be done and mom has to do something so that food can be put on the table. I understand there are single parent applications to this, and this doesn't necessarily speak in that same regard because someone's got to put food on the table. But most of the time today, dad is capable of putting food on the table, but it takes sacrifice elsewhere, but it's so important that the kids stay at home. Socrates said this, old philosopher, why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of your children to whom one day you must relinquish all? In other words, why do you work so hard to accumulate all of this wealth, but you spend so little time over here and in the ones that you're going to have to dump it all on one day anyway? You know, what's the priority here? Making the money? Whom are you going to throw that to the children who are just going to squander it? Or is it to raise up the children so that one day you can turn it all over to them and you know they'll handle it well and you know they'll handle it to God's glory? So I think there is so much wisdom in having mama at home. And I think there is so much value in you raising your own kids. And I understand all the tensions that come outside of that. And there's arguments and always worst case scenarios and all that kind of stuff. But I think the wisest route is that mama stays home, doesn't go to work, and if she has some work, she incorporates her kids into that in some way, and they don't just pay daycare to raise the kids. I think that's an important thing to understand. But moving forward on that, fathers, bring up your children. What's the next words there? Bring your children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Some versions say bring up your children in the training of the Lord. Legitimate translation, 2 Timothy 3:16, word of God is profitable. It's breathed out by God. It's profitable, doctrine or proof, correction, and training in righteousness. That's the same word. So yes, this could be training. It also could mean another thing, though. It could mean discipline. Discipline. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice every time I say the word, it's going to be the same word. Hebrews 12. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Verse 10, for they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good. Verse 11. For that the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. And it goes on to say, you're trained by discipline. And so certainly discipline is a legitimate translation of this as well. So that's the first word. Bring them up in the discipline or the training. And the second word there is instruction, also meaning admonition. That's the verbal side of things. So if you got more of the, well, the training word is kind of a bubble term. Covers all of the raising up of children, from the discipline on up through the speaking to them. The admonition side of things, the instruction side of things, things more of the verbal stuff, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Last part of that verse now. So bring them up, parents' responsibility, and the training and the instruction, and then the last part, what's the words? Of the Lord. Bring your children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. In other words, this, anyone can raise children for the most part. It's true that whenever you raise children, every human I see is a miracle because there is a mirage of stuff that could go wrong in raising children. And so every child I see is a miracle, every human, I guess, life. But on the other hand, it's not very complicated to raise a child, is it? Hear me out on this. feed them. If you feed them, what happens? They grow, most of the time. Sometimes you wonder, where's all that food going? But they're growing. And so anyone can raise up a child. But what we're talking about here is raise them up in the ways of the Lord. This is why you all look at me and think, you say that's so simple. It is simple to raise a child. Put food in their mouth, they'll grow. But to raise them into the ways of the Lord, that's where the real trouble, that's where the real trial comes in. But that is the aim of all Christian parents, to raise godly children. To raise children, like I talked about, that love God, that serve God, that know God, that obey God, and pursue after God with their whole life. That's our goal, and that's our aim. So what I'm doing with the rest of our time here is this. How do you do that? How do you raise up these kind of children that love God? How do you raise up kind of children that know God? How do you raise up the kind of children that are living sacrifices, that go after God? That's their heart. And they want nothing more. I got a few things I'm going to suggest to you this morning. Very biblical ideas. The first one is this. Discipline. Discipline your children. That's implied in verse 4. I noted that that's a legitimate translation of training. That word, training or discipline. To raise up godly children requires discipline. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." I think I said this last week, but all children are potential delinquents. All children, not just some children, all children are potential delinquents. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. All children come into the world with a broken heart, with a heart disease, with a depraved nature, with a sinful nature that's bent against God. All children have the potential to be what you see in criminals. And they come to that point when you just give in to every intention and every desire and everything that they want, you just say, here you go. But parents who discipline their children, in a sense, gotta choose my words. When you spank it out of them, I guess I want to say beat it out of them. That doesn't sound good from the pulpit. When you spank it out of them, that's where you begin this godly nurture and bringing up. Children come into the world self-centered. They come in stubborn. They come in foolish. They come in disobedient, immoral. They don't have morals. They think about themselves. They're only about themselves. But like a golf club. You take a golf ball, you set it on the ground, you take the club and you swing that thing and you smack that golf club and that ball goes flying, so does folly from your child when you discipline them. That's the goal. When you spank them, you're trying to remove that folly. Proverbs 10:13 says this, "A rod is for the back of him who lacks sense." A rod is, so God even tells you where you should spank them. And now this isn't biblical, but it's almost as though he's given you a nice cushy target on that backside so you know just where to hit him. He's given you something to aim for, but the rod is for the back of him who lacks folly. Now as children grow older, of course, you know, your discipline's got to change to stuff that's more age appropriate, something that's more effective as they grow older. But nevertheless, discipline is something that is important all through the raising of children. Proverbs 3, verse 11 through 12 says this, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves." In other words, the Lord disciplines those who he loves. Keep going on this. Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Take note of this. In the Bible, love and discipline go hand in hand. Love and discipline go hand in hand. If you love your children, what are you going to do? You're going to discipline them. If you don't discipline your children, what's that mean? It means you actually hate your children. Why? Because you are then content to let them grow up and to ungodliness. You're content to let them grow up and express their depraved lifestyle and to grow more into that, to sort of feed that as they go. And so love and discipline go hand in hand. Disciplining your children really matters. It really matters. And I want to give you two reasons why I think this really matters. Why this isn't just like, I see why that's like kind of a good idea, or maybe I should do this. I want to give you two reasons why this really matters in life. The first one is this, because it could be the difference of physical life and death. It could be the difference of physical life and death. I read an article that I thought put this really well. I'll give you a verse first. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. The article I read, it was by John Piper. It was called Parents Require Obedience Out of Your Children. Require Obedience Out of Your Children. And I thought he put it really well. He said that parents often tell their children two or three times to come or to go or to stop or to start doing something. And after the third try, then they start to bribe them. And then he went on to cite the killing of Andy Lopez. I don't remember if you recall this in the news several months back. A 13-year-old teenager shot by the police in Santa Rosa, California. How that came about was that the kid had a teenager, had a gun. It was an airsoft gun, I think, if I remember that right. And the police told him, someone called, said he's got an assault rifle, mimic. The tip was broken off, no orange on it. So police had no idea on this. Police show up. They look at the kid, they say, drop your weapon, he doesn't do it. They say, drop your weapon, he doesn't do it again. Instead, he starts to turn toward them, and that gun comes with it, and they shot two times, and they killed him. Now, the point here is not Andy Lopez himself. Piper went on to say, it's not, you don't know all the situation of whether he heard or whether he understood or all this kind of stuff. The point's not that itself. The point is this: what if? What if he actually did hear the police and he intentionally turned his gun on them anyway? What if? That form of disobedience cost him his life. And so that's why I say this could mean a thing of life and death. Piper then went on to describe in that same article another situation he saw on a plane. And he said, I was sitting behind this woman and her child. I think it was about 7 years old. And if you've ever flown before, you understand they have a little spiel they go through every time before takeoff. They talk it so fast you can barely understand it. But one of the things they always make note in that is that you got to turn off all electronic devices before the plane takes off. He said this 7-year-old son sitting by his mom was playing on his tablet. That announcement came over the radio. He did nothing, and mom didn't require it. The flight attendant then came through the aisles like they do. They made they do their checks. They looked at the boy, said, you're going to need to turn off that tablet so we can prepare for takeoff. And then she walked on. Boy did nothing. Mom didn't require it. The flight attendant, for a third time now, has come to this boy and said, you're going to need, and she stood over him this time and said, you're going to need to shut that off and you're going to need to give it to your mom. Boy shut it off. Flight attendant walked to her seat, put her seatbelt on, prepared for takeoff. Boy turns his tablet back on. The plane takes off. Mom did nothing. And he thought to himself, he said this, that mom is training her child to be shot by the police. It could be a life and death situation. If your children don't obey in the home, who says they're going to obey any higher authority, from their parent, their teachers at school, to the governing authorities, to the law itself? But even greater than that, I want to say that this can actually be a difference, a great difference in spiritual life and death. So if we can run a little bit deeper than that. Now, you and I both understand this, that children aren't going to come to know Jesus Christ through your backside beatings. Spankings. Sounds better. They're not going to come to know the gospel that way. But what I want you to understand is that those spankings and that teaching of obedience is very foundational to the gospel. A child can learn guilt before they even know words. A child can learn obedience even before they know words. A child can learn consequences of sin before they even know words. And so if you teach them what it means to obey you, they're going to quickly and more easily understand what it means to obey God. If you teach them that their actions have consequences, they're going to understand that their actions have consequences before God. And so you can see in a lot of ways, you stand before your children as their first impression and their first understanding of the things of God. You can lay a foundation for the gospel in their lives through your discipline. And isn't that what it's all about? Because you can raise children who are moral and who are good and who work hard and all this kind of stuff, but that's not enough. Raise them up in the ways of the Lord. Teach them to know Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal, that your kids come to know and to learn about and to experience and to walk with Jesus Christ. So discipline your children. Discipline them for society's sake. You see all these riots on TV and all these crimes and stuff. I think a lot of that's due to parents not spanking their children. And if they did spank them, they didn't do it hard enough. So discipline your children for society's sake. Discipline your children for their own sake. Teach them obedience. Teach them teach them the path of life, not the path of death. And then thirdly, teach your children obedience for God's sake. Teach them it for God's sake. They're not your children. They're actually His children that He gave to you for a short amount of time. And if you have someone else's children, why, we should raise them up the ways that they would want them raised. So do it for society's sake. Do it for your child's sake. Do it for the Lord's sake. Some people today, you probably know it as well as I do, they say, you shouldn't spank your children. It'll hurt them. That's the point. If it doesn't sting, you're not going to get anywhere. Hebrews 12 says this, "For a moment, all discipline seems painful." It's supposed to be painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. A mom might feel like, I understand this, sometimes you get the naughty child, and you think, man, I am just spanking them all the time. Is this good? Yes, it is. They will thank you for it later. Did your parents ever tell you that when you were growing up? You'll thank me for this later. How many of you would now say, I thank my parents for doing that? Right? Yeah. The whole Reinert family. good job to you guys. You can sleep the rest of this sermon. You got her covered. No. Your children will really thank you when they get older. I'm sure thankful for what my mom did. All right, where was I? All right, I want to give you a few more guidelines on this before I move on. I do have more in this than just discipline, but I want to give you five guidelines within the discipline realm to guide the discipline, because it's important to discipline right. Wrong discipline benefits nothing. Discipline right. Number one is this. When you discipline your children, make sure you do it for their good and not out of your anger. Make sure you do it for their good and not out of your anger. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, when you discipline a child, you should first have controlled yourself. What right have you to say to your children that he needs discipline when you obviously need it yourself? Self-control is an essential prerequisite in the control of others. Be careful not to punish your children when you're angry. Be careful not to punish your children when you're annoyed. And if you end up doing that, be sure to find them before you go to bed and say, I'm sorry. Number two, when you discipline your children, make sure they understand why they're being punished. It does no good if they don't know that. It's okay to give them a little speech beforehand or afterhand. And then number three is this, when you discipline your children, always let them know that you love them afterwards. Always let them know that you love them afterwards. If you spank your children or you discipline them and there's no love within that, you know what happens? Nothing but cold, angry feelings. But if you discipline a child with love, that's what breaks a child. When they know you don't want to do that, I hate disciplining you. I hate doing these things, but I do it because I care for you. That's what breaks a child. When you do it, and they know they're only doing that because they love me. That's when they recognize I've broken their love, I've broken their trust, and that's what brings them down. Number four, don't be an extremist in it. Some of you had parents that were very loose, and you thought, well, man, I got away with murder, and that's not good, and I'm not letting my kids do that, and you bring the rod. Other people had parents who brought the rod, and what they do is say, well, I hated that. I couldn't stand that. And so what happens to them? They come and they just let their children get away with murder. And you know what happens from generation to generation? Tick, tock. That pendulum swings from side to side. The opposite of wrong discipline is not no discipline. The opposite of wrong discipline is actually right discipline. And so do it well. And then the last one, number five, be consistent in it. Be consistent in it. It's easy to tell your children to do something and they don't do it. And you're thinking, it's 8 o'clock, it's Friday night, I've worked hard today, I fully understand this feeling, I'm tired, I'll get them next time. But if you keep that mindset when you raise children, you know what happens to them? They will wait in the future every time until you're about to blow up before they ever move. And in society, you're out in public, you'll tell them to do something, they ain't going to do it. They'll wait right up to that point when they know mom's about to explode, and then they'll move. But be consistent in it. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you don't want to deal with it. Yes, you're just like, oh man, I don't want to fight this battle again. But do it. It'll be worth it in the future, and you'll be thankful you did. Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And verse 17 says this, discipline your son, he will give delight to your heart. So keep at it, keep doing it, don't give up on it, stick with it. It will produce fruit when it's all said and done. So what does it take to raise a child who knows God, who loves God, who serves God, whose heart will be after God? Number one, it takes this, discipline. Number two, it takes instruction. It takes instruction. Keep a finger here. Go back to the fifth book of your Bible, Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is speaking to all of Israel, and he says in verse 4, don't worry if you're not there, I want you to find verse 7. In verse 4, he says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And in verse 7, it says this, you shall, what's the word? Teach. That's the word of everyone's Bible except for the NIV. It says impress. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Take my words, teach them to your children. How should you do this? Look at verse 7 as it goes on. You shall talk of them when you sit, and when you, sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. In other words, keep my word and teach it to your children. How do you do this? But you do it when you sit, when you rise, when you walk, and when you lay down. You do it all the time. In other words, just do it all through life. There's a place for the sit down, let's be spiritual time. That's good and that's healthy. But it's so important that this doesn't become just a, okay, let's be spiritual right now and so I can get back to the rest of life. What God wants is it to be a lifelong thing. As you're walking throughout life, as you're just doing simple tasks, you're riding in the tractor with your son, you're mowing the lawn with him or working alongside him in any regard, he wants. God says, teach your children. That's the time. Not just the sit down, here we go time, but all the time. Make this a lifelong thing. That's what he desires. Sure, you can talk about sports with your children. Sure, you can talk about everyday life. Sure, you can talk to them about hunting and fishing and relationships and clothing and all this kind of stuff. But what is most important is that you talk to them about the things of God, to teach them what it means to live uprightly, to teach them what it means to turn the other cheek, to teach them what it means to go the extra mile, to teach them what it means to be humble, to look to God in times of success as well as times of failure, to teach them what it means to go after the kingdom of God like a precious jewel, to teach them what it means to live as a citizen of a different country, to teach them the ways of God, to teach them the truths of God, to teach them the gospel. Like I said, this is number one in parenting. To teach your children the gospel, the truth that God has a law, that they cannot keep it. They have no capacity to do it. They've broken it. They're sinners, and therefore they will be judged by that sin. But Jesus came. He died on the cross for you and for your sins. And if you place your faith and if you place your trust in him and if you repent and turn from those sins, he will give you life and you can know eternal glory. That's number one for the parent, to teach your child the gospel, to pursue their hearts. You can raise a child that's polite. You can raise a child that's respectful. You can raise a child that has halfway decent morals. But number one and the most important thing is that you raise a child that knows God and that loves God and that trusts God. You say, oh, I'll just bring them to church and they'll do that. No. I mean, the church is here. They're happy to help. All of the Sunday school teachers are thrilled to death to be able to teach your children about the things of God and to raise them and help them in that regard on the 1 hour that they're given on a Sunday morning. But the Bible does say parents do this. Fathers do this. Mothers do this. Not church only do this. Not someone else do this. You do this. There's a great trap that parents fall into today. And it's the great trap of telling your kids, get good grades, practice your instruments, get good at your sports. It's the trap of running them for here to there to there to there for their athletics and for their music lessons and for their gymnastic lessons and for their dance lessons. It's a trap of telling them, get good grades so you get scholarships, because scholarships will save you money. Go into college then, get you a good education, and with that education, get you a good job so that you can have a good income and you can have a good life, and all the way through life, you push these things. And none of these things are bad. They're great things in life. But the trap comes when that becomes number one in all of your pursuits. And above teaching them the things of God and to know God and to love God and to trust God, you're teaching them, look, athletics are number one. Your sports are number one. Your music lessons are number one. Major on the majors, minor on the minors. Talk about hunting, talk about cooking and sowing and planting and working hard and all that kind of stuff. But make sure that you maximize most of all on loving God, walking with God, trusting God, living for God, and knowing God. I would much rather my child be a godly ditch digger, like I said, than to be a worldly millionaire. Teach them these things. Teach them with your words. Don't only teach them with your words, but teach them with your life as well. So discipline your children, teach them with your words, and the last one is this, teach them with your example. Teach them with your example. You've heard it said, more is caught than is. Okay, you haven't heard it said. More is caught than is taught. Some of you heard it said. And there's truth in that. Jesus called his disciples to what? follow him. He didn't just say, listen to me. He said, follow me. Because there's a lot of power in your example. Your children need to hear you talk about the truth, but even more than that, they need to see that your life actually believes that truth. The bad news for you is that your example is one of the primary means of teaching your children. I hope you know I say that tongue in cheek, but kids will learn far more from your life than your lectures, especially this if your life doesn't back up your lectures. So many parents don't let God influence what they watch on TV, the music that they listen to, what they dress in, what they do on Sunday. They may go to church and they may just sleep. And God makes no difference in how they handle their money, what they do with it, the words that come out of their mouths, at least outside of these doors. And the children take note of that, and they draw obvious conclusions from that. And what they say when they see this is, God is not worth weaving life around. And they see him as kind of a necessary evil to be tolerated on Sunday. If that, I guess, if nothing else gets in the way. But outside of that, it's just a, do whatever you want sort of life. He matters little. It's crazy how many parents think that they can get their children to become something they're not. To get them to follow Christ when they obviously don't do it themselves. So there's got to be a real genuineness of our life. From personal purity to financial integrity. From self-control to what your Sundays consist of. Don't make Christ and spiritual things a base that you touch while you're running around life. I'm going to run around, and every once in a while I come to spiritual things. Make it the ground that you stand on. So no matter where you walk, you're walking with Christ. No matter what you do, it's a spiritual thing. And so that in everything they see you doing, they see you. My dad loves God. My mom loves God. It don't matter whether she's cooking. It don't matter whether he's out there in the field or whatever. He loves God. And so that in their trials, they see you saying, I guess we better just figure this out on our own. But they see you saying, we need to turn to God right now. And we need to pray. And so that they see you in church and they see you living out spiritual things and they see that that's all important because children do notice these things. I was in junior high, just actually upper grade school, when I started going to a different church with my mom. And I remember through those junior high years, I noticed my mom always put a $20 bill into that offering bag. And when I got a job, you know what I started doing? Started putting a $20 bill in that offering bag, when I remembered. And that came not out of like a biblical command or a deep conviction or any of that stuff. That just came because I saw mom doing it. That must be important to her. So I'm going to do it. And so children are watching. They notice your example. And they're constantly asking this. Is this real or is this fake? Is Christ worth living for, or is it just kind of a joke? So live for Christ, trust in him, walk with him, and your kids will take note of this. In conclusion, I just want to say this. Raising children can be likened to pouring concrete. Pouring concrete, if you've ever done it, you know this, it's hard work. You've got to lay a firm foundation. You then lay out the concrete, and you have just a short amount of time to shape it and to form it and to get it all smooth and everything, because you know what's going to happen? It hardens. And once it hardens, can concrete be changed? Yes, it can, but what's it take? There's got to be a lot more work in the removing of that foundation that was once laid and then restoring that and starting really over. A firm foundation, however, rightly poured concrete, will last outside longer than its owner. A weak foundation will quickly show up in cracks and twists and in warped walls and all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of work. But your child's years in your home are the most important years of your child's life, at least the ones that you have with them. And you can set them up for great failure, or you can set them up for great success. Yes, God is sovereign, and so he can raise up godly children out of ungodly homes. No, you are not sovereign, which is why there are godly parents and some of their children can go wayward. God is ultimately in charge of those things. But Proverbs 22:6 does say this, train up a child in the ways of the Lord, in the ways that he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it takes effort, it takes hard work. It takes a lot of tears, it takes dedication, it takes struggle, it takes all this stuff, it takes discipline, verbal instruction, it takes an example, it takes love, but it also takes a lot of prayer. But it's worth it. It is worth it to have children that live for God. It is worth it to have children that follow after God. It is worth it to have children whose full minds and full hearts are dedicated to his service. It's worth it. Let's stand for closing. I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Statistics say that the overwhelming majority of Christian kids and teenagers leave the faith when they get into those college years. I just wonder how much of that is due to parents not going after their children's hearts in their younger years. They just teach them hard work. They just teach them, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. They pursue their intellectual knowledge. They pursue their grades. They encourage them to get good jobs and all this kind of stuff that we mentioned. But they don't pursue their hearts. And so the question that comes to us is, are we parents who are after our children's hearts? Are we filling them as fathers? Are we filling them as mothers with the Word of God? Are we doing it constantly with our life, when we rise, when we sit down, when we lay down, when we walk? Do we demonstrate that church is important based on the priority we give to it, or is it just something of a convenience, something to do when there's nothing else to do? Do we demonstrate that our contentment in Christ is real? Do we demonstrate that he's worth living for? Or does he just take a back seat when other stuff gets in the way? And I want to say a word to the parents who their children are out of the home. If you feel like you've blown it, come before God, plead with him, because he is a God of mercy. He's a God of new beginnings, and prayer has power. And come to your children and be humble before them and speak with them of these things. And there's a time to start new. Choose this day. The book of Joshua says, who you will serve. And it's a decision that every family's got to make. Dad and mom, child, parent, husband, wife, whatever you would be. Am I going to do this God's way, or am I going to do it my own way? Make that decision. Make that something that you want to do today, to pursue your children, to pursue their hearts, to go after them in this regard. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? You can't lead your children to know him if you don't know him. And I want to say today can be the day of salvation. If you would look and you would understand and you would believe that I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned against God, but he has died on the cross to pay for my sins. And the Bible says if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, you will be saved. He'll save you from your sins, but you got to cry out to him in repentance and in faith. Say, God, save my soul. And may I walk with you all of the days of my life. So whatever the Lord's spoken to us about, let's take them in a silent moment of individual prayer, and then I'll close in just a few moments. Let's pray.